How many times have you said to yourself, I'm going to succeed, and yet you keep coming up short? You probably noticed that high achievers with heart do things differently, but you just can't put your finger on it. You're curious about why high achievers accomplish more and have more satisfying relationships. It's because success is the result of your mindset and the consistent actions you take. This show is designed with your success in mind. By revealing these powerful patterns of our dynamic individuals and guest experts, you can model what they do and apply to your future success now. Let's roll up our sleeves and get started. My name is Brigitte Höfele, and this is the Success Patterns Show. And happy Tuesday, everyone. My sleeves are way rolled up. Here's the golden nugget. Success patterns are more valuable than ideas. Let me explain. While ideas are very powerful, require trial and error and have a lot of time to put into action. Now, just think about manufacturing. First, you have an idea, then proof of concept, then a working prototype, then small production batches, and finally, full-scale production. This can take months, maybe even years. And you may have met some people that have great ideas and are collectors of ideas, but they do little else. Forget everything you heard about ideas. You're not looking for ideas. You are looking for success patterns, and you are at the right place at the right time because success patterns are different. Success patterns are better. Success patterns are proven, have a logical sequence of steps to follow, have an action imperative, and deliver consistent results. In today's content-rich success pattern show, you're going to learn these valuable success patterns, and we have a few for you, so you might want to have something to write with and something to write on, because I have a very special guest today. He's known for giving you success patterns that you can immediately use and understand and implement. His name is Tom Antion, and he's never had a job. And you're going to learn more about that. He's an internet multimillionaire, and he is the guy next door and the founder of the only licensed and dedicated internet marketing school in the country. He's the subject of a Hollywood documentary, The American Entrepreneur, that's premiering in spring 2023. And he is just a heart-centered, fun guy. So get ready as we're going to bring him on, Tom Antion. Thank you, Tom, for being here.
Hey, Brigitte. Hey, you know something? You said I never had a job. I actually applied for a job one time.
What did you apply for?
Well, I don't remember what it was, but they said it had a 401k. And I thought, you know, that's a pretty good starting salary, $401,000. I didn't get the job.
You didn't get the job. Aren't you glad you didn't get the job? I'm glad I didn't. So, Tom, you have a podcast. You have a whole movement called Screw the Commute, which basically stands for what?
The fact that I'd never had a job. And you can live two or three lives. When you look at my resume, you think there is no way the guy could have done all this stuff. And yes, you can. You can live two or three extra lives if you're not in traffic making somebody else rich all the time.
That's right. I mean, just, you know, Atlanta traffic alone is pretty ridiculous.
Hey, don't you have a city that's trying to secede from the union down there, like Buck something? I don't know.
Union City?
No, there's a thing. It's got Buck in the name. I forget.
Oh, Buckhead.
Buckhead. Yeah, Buckhead. They're trying to secede from the union
down there. We won't talk about Buckhead today. I want to talk about the poster that's behind you. That's an interesting poster. What is it? What's on it?
Well, do you remember Johnny Cash?
Yeah.
Yeah, so he wrote a song one time called A Boy Named Sue, where he was an old drunk cowboy and didn't think he would be able to be around to raise his boy, so he named him Sue to make him fight and scrap and, you know, all the time. So my dad was 50 when he had me. He came on a cattle boat from Syria back in the early 1900s, and he figured he wouldn't be around to raise me. So from the time I could crawl, he would put pillows in front of me and put my toys on the other side to teach me how to overcome obstacles before I could even walk. And so to this day, I'm totally unstoppable. And I won't step on anybody or cheat anybody to get where I'm going. But if you tell me I can't do something, you better get out of the way as I blow by doing it. You know? See, Brigadier, for your fans here, when somebody tells you you can't do something, it means they can't do it. Doesn't have
anything to do with you. Right? It's their limitation.
Exactly, right? It has nothing to do with you.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
So that's what that is. So you basically, you're sitting here talking to Sam Antion, not Tom Antion, because that he taught me is right here.
Who learned and was programmed by his father, who was also an entrepreneur, to overcome obstacles by climbing over pillows. I mean, it's that simple.
It's that simple. Yeah. Yeah. You got all these psychologists doing all this crazy stuff, and there's a pillow and a ball that molded my life.
Because think about that. There are enough parents out there that want to bubble wrap their children and not put a pillow in front of them so they can learn to overcome obstacles.
No, that's the biggest gripe I have about the younger generation coming up is they can't handle any kind of pressure. And that's what leads to drugs and alcohol and therapy and everything else. You know, so put your kids under pressure, safe pressure. Yeah, I get that. But I mean, we didn't even have seatbelts when I was here. Was the seatbelt when I was in my dad's car? Bam!
Listen, Tom, you know where my sisters are 9 and 10 years older than me. You know where my sisters put me so they had more space in the back of the BMW that my dad had. They laid me on the top part.
Exactly.
To sleep. That's where I grew up.
I get it. See, that's the way it was. We had roll up windows and we had a Corvair that Ralph Nader says going to blow up in your face. But that's all right. We're good. We'll blow up together.
We turned out just fine and we're pretty resilient.
Yeah, now, we can do things. Yeah.
Talking about resilience, you have an idea, a strategy that you call dull edge technology. That sounds painful.
No, it's actually less painful. So, you know, I've been selling on the commercial internet since there was a commercial internet in 1994. So it's about 29 and a half years. And I can't program anything. I use only off the shelf software, but all of these, the newfangled stuff that comes out, and it comes out rapid fire, but it's always got the most glitches, the most trouble. It's the most expensive. So what I do is I hold back until all the geeks and propeller heads and everybody tries it out and kills themselves to get all the glitches out. And then I swoop in and make the money with it. All right. So that's the simple concept of dull edge technology.
Sounds very, you know, why doesn't everyone do that?
Well, I mean, they call it bleeding edge for a reason. All right. You're going to bleed money and trouble with your customers and everything if you're always trying to do the fanciest stuff. We had a situation with our texts. You know, that I was like, hey, I don't need that many texts to show up on your show. You know, yeah. So it's you know, so I back off from the edge and then you can make more money because you're not blowing things. You're not making customers mad. Very simple. Very simple.
Listen to a multimillionaire that is preaching the dull edge technology. Now we have your fans here on the show, and
we do.
there's a bunch of fans. So Latanya says hello, Tom and Brian.
Hey Latanya, how you doing?
And Brian says, love me some Tom Antion.
Hey Brian, send me some texts, man.
So he's asking, what is your number one go-to for acquiring qualified leads?
For acquiring qualified leads, with me, it's email. In fact, everybody at my level.
Text messages?
No, not text. In fact, I got in trouble with text messages one time. Some guy was getting on a plane. I was trying to do text marketing. And a guy really got mad at me. So I was trying to get on a plane. I missed my place and I couldn't, you know, do my bag because you hit me with this text. So I think they have text now and voicemails that'll go direct to voicemail so it doesn't, you know, disrupt people. But no, my email. And the only people that dispute the fact that the guys like me make their most money with email are the people that sell social media training. But the problem with that is that you don't own anything, like this new Threads thing that came out. Dull edge technology. Did I sign up? No. Why would I? You know, I didn't get on Facebook till they had a billion users. back in the day. All right. So, email is what I do. So I do everything in my power. See, I don't look that like a big deal on social media because my whole thing, get him the heck off of there onto my email list that I control, not Mark Zuckerberg. All right. So, so email is still the main leads that come in. Now I have been doing summits lately because there's a new style summit that you don't have to sit there all day. The audience doesn't have to sit there all day to watch the summit. They, all the videos are released on a Monday morning and you have 48 hours to watch any ones you want anytime. And then on Tuesday, a bunch more are released. So those summits are really kicking butt.
So you do summits, you do ebooks. How many ebooks did you write?
I have about 25 books to my credit and, you know, hundreds of other reports and, you know, products and stuff.
I remember I was I took one of your courses, mm-hmm. by the way, for everyone watching, you need to take Tom Antion's courses. They're just amazing. Talking about value stack. In one of your courses, you were talking about that you wrote an ebook while you were waiting at the airport.
Oh yeah. Yeah. That one, as of this morning, has brought in almost $3.92 million. I wrote it in about a 4-hour layover. I remember it vividly at McCarran Airport in Las Vegas, and it's a free ebook. And people say, oh, now you're really BSing us, Tom. Well, do we have time for me to explain the method?
Yeah, please.
Yeah. So basically, you write an ebook that teaches somebody how to do something, but they can't do it and get all the benefits that you've espoused in this thing that they're supposed to do unless they purchase or lease the mechanism to do it. So, you know, I represent a shopping cart system, so and I don't even run the technology. I wouldn't know how to do it, you know, if you held a gun to my head. But I've been the biggest promoter in the world just by giving away this free ebook. And then I make anywhere, and I don't care about the, you know, I sold it for 99 cents one time on Amazon, big deal. But the I make anywhere from $600 to $720 per year per person that buys the shopping cart. And then some of them have had it for like 19 years. You know, I've been doing this. So that's the mechanism, is that the book always should lead to something much bigger. And that is called a residual affiliate program. That keeps paying over and over and over. I promoted it to somebody once with the book, and they pay me for years and years and years and years and years. That's the way you can make some money.
And you said, and I want to reiterate that that is not your technology.
Not even my. No, I didn't. I would not in a million years know how to make that. But I found that it's good. I use it personally, so I can more vehemently promote it, because why would I promote something and be credible that if I'm not using it?
You know? Right. Exactly.
So, but still using it to this day.
And that ties into something that we talked about before we got on the show. Keep it simple. Simplicity is key. Talk to me about simplicity.
One of my books that I wrote, Brigida, and one of the reasons big companies kind of hate me is I wrote a book, called the One Sentence Business Plan. Talk about simplicity, right? People spend millions of dollars coming up with business plans and mission statements that nobody in the company, you know, follows. So this is my one sentence business plan. I create quality products that at a reasonable price that people actually want, and I service the customer after the sale. That's it. If every company on earth would just do that, they would save millions and millions of dollars, have happy customers, you know, so it's simple. You can't get any more simple than that.
That is simplicity pure. And I wonder, did you also write a book on accountability on that statement?
No, I haven't got to that one yet.
Because I would assume that there were going to be some companies that you really want to hold accountable.
Well, there's too many of them. You get call your cable company, your any company you can think of. My tech guy was on hold for 2.5 hours with Microsoft 365, and then they hung up on him.
Oh,
you know, so
that's brutal.
Exactly. The companies get so big, nobody cares. No, they'll lie to you. They don't know. Yeah. So I get off. But anyway, they hate me because I won Best of the Web in Inc. magazine 1 year for a website that at the time cost me $650. Now it would cost me $150. I beat three other million-dollar websites from major companies. And they asked the panel of CEOs, well, why did Mr. Antion win? Well, we could get around the site easily, and we found what we wanted in a hurry. That's all they cared about at the CEO that has big purse strings that can give you money. That's all they cared about. They didn't care about the fancy bells and whistles. I mean, a website today will do your dishes and wash your car for you. I mean, you know, but people aren't looking for that when they're doing a search, you know. So
you are known in the industry. And how do you keep being such a humble and kind and amazing person that you are?
Well, thank you. That's very, very kind of you to say so. Basically, I came from a small town. My town, to this day, the population is 500 people. And we lived in the suburbs, okay, which in the sticks, basically, all right? It was a place where your handshake meant something. Mm-hmm. If you messed up, the neighbors would correct you, you know, takes a village kind of thing, and not get sued over it.
All right.
And so you did what you were supposed to do. And so I just kept that small town attitude. I mean, I made it pretty big, but, you know, it's still, I'm the guy next door. I'm helping the neighbor all the time, and he's totally politically different from me. But hey, he's an older guy. He needs my help, you know, so yeah. I'm strong and I can help him, you know. So, the arrogant people usually aren't the ones. I say the most powerful people don't have to yell and scream about it all the time. You know, they exhibit it.
That is the success pattern of this show. And there were already many that you said, but I think that is the most important one that we heard in this show.
So I didn't even get warmed up yet, Brigitte.
So your dad came on a ship from Syria to the United States. Yep. And was an entrepreneur.
My name's a mistake. See, because he came from Antioch, Syria. And in those days, they named you from where your village you were born in. So when he got to Ellis Island, he was Simon from Antioch. But they couldn't read it. It was all handwritten. So, All right, you're Sam Antion. So that's how we got it. It's up on the wall there at Ellis Island.
That's incredible. Yeah. And he brought these values with, were you already born?
No, he was 3 years old.
He was three.
Yeah, this is the early 1900s. And that's part of what the American Entrepreneur story is about these people coming with nothing and building entrepreneurial endeavors and stuff.
You said Ellis Island. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure. And he gave these incredible values to you. Now, as an expert in your field, and you have expertise in many fields, how do you stay humble, but how do you continue to grow?
You mean weight-wise? He says, you know, that pandemic weight thing, that was real.
That's a real thing. No, we're not going to talk about that. We don't talk about that.
Well, I really don't think in those terms, Brigitte. I think in terms of servicing customers, exhibiting fairness in all my business dealings. That's another pattern that we didn't really make a separate segment on. But all my business dealings are fair. And that's why it's easy to grow when you're not cheating people and people chasing you and suing you all the time. And, you know, so, and here's another thing. I never have done a launch ever. Mm-hmm. I see launches as flash in the pan stuff and people not thinking for the long haul. So if a success pattern for me is I think long haul, everything, how is this going to treat that person and me in the long run? Are they going to be mad at me because I cheated them and made a little extra money on the front end? And then they're going to sue me later and ruin my reputation. So I always think long haul on things, and you naturally grow if you're thinking long haul and not just flash in the pan.
Does learning and continuous learning tie into that?
Oh, absolutely. Because remember, I came from a small town, blue collar town. Dad was blue collar. He put the first electric light bulb in Carnegie, Pennsylvania. And then he had his electrical contracting firm at 13 years old. And, And so he made me into an entrepreneur, but he taught me how to do stuff. And that's another kind of complaint I have with the younger generation. They can't do anything. You should see the TikTok videos of a bunch of kids trying to change a tire. I mean, it looks like that old English show where there's
the Benny Hill show.
Benny Hill show, yeah. And the car falls over. I mean, so I'm a continuous learner. So I'm going to give you some for instances of that, and then I'm going to give you a saying. I didn't come up with it. I have no idea where I heard this originally, but it's brilliant. So, for instance, I hired an arborist for $200 to teach me how to fell trees. Because I have enormous trees all over. I have 150 acres worth of trees and invasive species and all this crap. And it would cost tens of thousands of dollars to have somebody else do this. So $200, I learned how to do it. I bought a $700 chainsaw, and now I know how to fell trees safely. That's one thing. Pressure washing. I went down to the pressure washing place, gave a guy $100. I said, I'm never going to hire you, but I'll give you $100 to show me what to do. He comes out and he says, I would have charged you $4,000 to do your retreat center for just one time. You're out of your mind. My dad would be rolling over in his grave. And so I bought a $400 pressure washer and learned all the stuff, watched YouTube. And now I save $4,000 and get some exercise in every year. I'm a commercial drone pilot. I'm starting a little drone business on the side because we make our hobbies tax deductible. Remember that?
Yeah.
And I got my EPA rating, which that allows me to handle refrigerant. We have 6 air conditioners here at the retreat center. So if they go on the blink, they come out and they try to rip you off. They get in my neighborhood and the price goes up like triple because they think you're a dipshit and don't know what you're doing. So they come out, but I can handle my own air conditioner now. So I can do almost all the electricity and maintenance and stuff. So continuous learning. So here's the thing. If you get those kinds of skills, and what I hate is, I've spoken all over the world on stages. What I hate are the people up there that tell you to delegate everything. Oh yeah, delegate everything. Only do what you're good at. Well, guess what? If what you're good at is making you broke, maybe you ought to rethink that a little bit and learn how to do stuff. And then you can keep your costs really low. And if you're in the digital world like I am, you've got 97% profit. So you keep your costs low. You can't fail. You got to try really hard to fail. So I keep my costs low. But let's say I want to farm something out. Now I know what's involved. Mm-hmm. And so here's the saying that people should write down. Again, I don't know who to attribute it to, but here's the saying. It's when you're trying to get a job done, you call for estimates and stuff. You say, this job should be easy for somebody that knows what they're doing. Okay. This job should be easy for somebody that knows what they're doing. That implies that you know what's going on, so they can't rip you off. I was just up on a property of mine up in Pennsylvania, and I need some roof work done. And so I'm telling the guy, yeah, that cricket on this side of the thing, it needs some new flashing, and the penetrations, there's a broken boot on this. So the guy's saying, uh-oh, we better not rip this guy because he knows
what's going on.
Lakes and valleys and gables, and I knew the stuff. I said, yeah, my dad built this house. And we've been in construction for a long time. So I said, I just want the job done. I don't want ripped off. And so that keeps your bids down because you know what you're doing.
I wrote this sentence down, and I hope that everyone that's watching this also wrote it down and will use it in the future. Now,
don't let them catch you that you don't really know how to do, because they'll really rip you then if you act like
you're at least do a little bit of a research.
Yes, yeah, know what you're talking about.
Yeah, know what you're talking about. So there's a interest, a not just an interest, there's a belly in your fire to want to know, to want to do, to want to learn. And now I'm arguing, you mentioned hobbies earlier. Do you consider some of those things your hobby?
Well, I wish I could throw my belly in the fire, as you just said. more like a fire in my belly. Yeah, so speaking of bellies, so yeah, I make my hobbies tax deductible. So that way, legitimately, no, I'm not pulling anything on the IRS. But for instance, I have a site called Fatso Tennis because I'm a tennis nut. And I have the dubious distinction of being the largest person ever to create and star in a tennis training video. So you can see the trailer at fatsotennis.com where I'm playing tennis and eating pizza. So, and then we have a protection dog company because I love my big dogs. So I take the orders and pass on the, you know, they started like $20,000 for a really good family protection dog. And then I have brutal self-defense based on the fact I've been in over 100 violent encounters with bikers trying to kill me. And so keep up with all that stuff. So, if it's something you enjoy, you don't have to have a product. You can always use an affiliate product, like I told you in that ebook. But if you love camping, you know, family interest, you know, camping costs a fortune and you get no credit for it. So go out there and start a vlog on and review camping stoves and this, that, and the other. And at least a part of it, you know, get with your financial advisors. I'm not, you know, an accountant or attorney, but this is the way it works. I've had hundreds of them in my classes and they say, yep, that's how it works.
That's how it works. So you make your hobbies like that tax deductible. Mm-hmm. Of course, guys, go and talk to your CPA, your accountant. Yeah.
And they're going to say no on virtually everything. So get one that's more progressive.
Yeah, that's right. That's absolutely right. Know what you're talking about when you are shopping for that quote. Now, Tom, this is it's super easy and just fun talking to you. And you have so much knowledge and so much excitement within you. How do people screw their own commute?
Well, they should get into the digital world for sure, because the profit margins are so high and the cost, if you know what you're doing, are low. Don't spend $10,000 on a website. People come to me all the time. Oh, look at my website. I'm so proud of it. How much does it cost? $10,000. I'm like having a heart attack. Yeah. It's a $150 WordPress site with a theme, a responsive theme on it and a couple graphics off of Fiverr. They paid $10,000 for it. So keep your costs low, learn what you're doing, and get into the digital products because they're 97% profit and you have to really try to fail.
Yeah. And when you know what you want and when you know what you're doing and when you know where your niche is, you clearly know where your niche is, it's easy to then identify and just go for it. Now, you brought a gift for listeners.
Yeah, I want people spending time with customers, prospects, and developing products and services and taking care of people, not fighting with their computer. And I am not any kind of digital wizard. I have to get the young people to help me with stuff a lot of times. But I learned how to use automation techniques. And this ebook that I'm giving you, we sell for $27, but it's because Brigitte's threatened to use NLP on me or something, turn me into a chatbot. I don't know. You can get it for free, but just one of the tips in the book has, we estimated, it's not BS, we estimated it saved me 8 million keystrokes, just one of the tips. So these, if you take a couple days and learn one of the tips, a couple more days and learn the other tips, and do that for a month, you will save yourself thousands of hours of busy crap work that's not bringing in money. So get the darn book, download it, and then you can contact me through there and get on my podcast, screwthecommute.com. We have over 400 training episodes on every topic you can imagine because I've been in business for 47 years now, long before the internet was around. So I have offline and online experience that all for free. It's $1 million worth of training. So Screw the Commute.
You wanna follow Tom Antion. I promise you, you're going to absolutely love it. You're going to have fun doing it. So screwthecommute.com/automatefree is the gift that Tom brought for us. You can listen to all of the learnings and you will learn a ton bit by bit from Tom, screwthecommute.com.
I'm going to give my phone number, but they have to put "for a good time" up on the bathroom walls next to it.
You don't want that because there might be people calling you for a good time. And then I think Tom will have a good time. Tom will definitely have a good time. Now, Tom, what I said earlier when we started the show today is You're a movie star too.
They told me, don't quit my day job. I have two things going on. I have a show called Scam Brigade where I go after bad fraudulent people. That's in development in Hollywood. And then the American Entrepreneur documentary about my dad coming to America and turning me into an entrepreneur. And I've turned in thousands of entrepreneurs. So that's supposed to premiere this summer. You said the spring, but spring is kind of sprung. but that's the Hollywood thing. They said, you know, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. I don't know.
It will happen.
Yeah. And there's a writer's strike now too. I don't know if that affected or not, but
yeah, the writer's strike has been going on for quite some time.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to affect me, but
you continue writing.
Yeah. But they can check it out at facebook.com, American Entrepreneur Film. Leave a comment. I'll respond to you personally. Thanks.
Yeah. Leave a nice comment, you guys, which I know everyone will.
Tom, any kind of comment. Towards the algorithm.
Tom, this has been absolutely fantastic. Can I have you back on the show?
Oh, I think I can make it. I'll sit right here waiting for you.
Okay, fantastic. Guys, get with Tom. Tom Antion, screwthecommute.com. Make sure that you get your Automate free gift that Tom brought for us. And I will say until next time that we have Tom here. Next week, we'll be here again, same time, same place. Until then, Tom, your last famous words.
Digital, digital, digital. That's
digital, digital, digital. Real estate. Thanks, Tom. Take care, you guys.
Bye.
Thank you for tuning in, and you will notice opportunities to apply success patterns daily while eagerly anticipating next week's content-rich success patterns.